Hello and welcome to the Fed by Farmer podcast with me, Cammy Wilson.
And me, Iona Murray.
Joining us in the studio today is a major sports star for Scotland. We have Emma Orr of the Scotland women's rugby team. How are you today, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great. I'm really excited about this, I have to say. This actually all came about from a drunken Snapchat. Not from Emma. Not from Emma to me. Can I just say it was from Jock Welsh, yep, or David Andrew. Mm-hmm. One of them, they were both there. What pub was this?
Live Scott.
Was it Live Scott? Yeah. So this was at Lanark Market. And they said, oh, get Emma on the podcast. I thought, of course, that's genius. That would be amazing. Because not only is Emma a sports star, but you're also a farmer's daughter. And, mm-hmm, and a future farmer yourself.
Definitely,
but
yep.
We're going to get into that a bit more, but first, got to do our housekeeping, Iona.
Yes.
Who are our sponsors again?
Crystalix and Animax.
Yeah.
And trace your bolus.
Yeah, if you want to trace your bolus, if you want to find your bolus, Iona. Iona will trace your bolus. I'm still enjoying that. I'm going to live off that for a while. So yeah, thanks to them, as always, for the support. One thing I'm going to say, a lot of folk just see like Crystalix sponsoring this and that. But, you know, there's a face behind it. The marketing team at Crystalix, they were the first team to jump on board and support the sheep game when it first started. Mm. So you think Crystalix is just this like big company, but they came in behind the little guy. And, you know, they saw Fed by Farmers starting, and straight away, Graham, he won't mind me mentioning his name, Graham, who's the marketing manager, mm-hmm, on the text, can we get involved with this? And straight in. And,
yeah,
you know, they're great to work with. He never tells you what to do.
Do not.
No,
that's like, good for you.
Mention us. Have, you know, a couple of tubs there so folk can see it. Don't do the hard sell. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's easy. Crystalix sells at sale anyway. That's a good thing. It's the only product made the way it is.
So God, you really do love it, don't you? I feel it from you.
Do you know, not only is it the product, it's the folk.
Yeah.
And that's what, it's hard to get that across to folk. It's like they're so good to work with. Like, mm-hmm, they don't ask anything of you. They're just like, you know, want to get behind you. Love what you're doing. Great for farming. We want to be part of it.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
nice.
Like, you know, here's a few tubs. Mention us, mm-hmm, and it's great. So, and our Animax boluses are coming this week, apparently.
Great,
yeah, I know. So we'll be able to have a look at them and play about with them. So that's a sponsorship. We're going to hear a bit more from them later in the podcast. If you're listening on audio, take a second. We've never said this before, but take a second and just click that wee plus or the follow thing if you're on Spotify. That, you know, I want people to actually follow the podcast. You'll get notifications when we post new ones. And if you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube, hi.
Hey, yeah.
Hi. I listen to another podcast that does it on YouTube, and they call so they do audio on YouTube,
right,
but they call the people that watch on YouTube the creeps. It's like, why are you watching us talking? Stop staring at me. It's weird feeling that someone's watching you. So yeah, there are people watching as well, Emma, so just, you know, bear in mind anything you do here can be seen on YouTube.
Okay.
So please jump on, check the YouTube, hit that subscribe button if you're watching now, and we appreciate all the likes and comments as well. That's what I meant by housekeeping.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
I said now, before we started, I have a bit of housekeeping to do, Emma, so sorry, I'll keep you hanging on for a minute. And Iona's like, yeah, fire exits are here, toilets are there, all the boring stuff. What do you want to ask, Emma?
Right, well, I think we should get into it.
Yeah, that's me. I've done my
right,
bit now. I'm just sitting out for 10 minutes.
Okay, right, perfect. So, Emma, start with you. Who is Emma?
So, I am from a beef and sheep farm in South Lanarkshire. Grew up with sort of three other siblings, mum and dad, like very family orientated, rugby mad, just the usual kind of stuff.
So is it brothers or sisters you've got?
Two older brothers and an older sister as well.
Right.
So split down the middle.
That's like me as well.
Mum and dad always said that.
No, it's not. I've got two sisters.
Similar idea though.
Yeah,
you're the, yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, mum and dad always said they had loads of kids, so they don't need to employ any work for so.
That's my thinking as well. That's why we're having so many. Yeah, cheap labour. Or
exactly.
Or the most expensive labour you could ever have. Depending on how you look at it. It's a long-term investment. You know?
But long-term gains.
Long-term gains, absolutely.
Yeah.
So do they get free labour out of you?
Yes, they absolutely abuse it.
Yeah.
No, we're all drafted in quite a lot, to be honest, for helping and nod sort of stuff.
Yeah, okay. And which your thing, more beef or more sheep? Would you like?
Probably more sheep, I think. Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah, definitely more sheep, to be honest. I like cattle as well, but sheep are easier to work with and yeah, prefer them, I think.
Okay.
So how did you get into rugby? When did it start?
It started, as I say, it was quite a family affair. Like dad, everyone has played, everyone in my family's played at a bigger rugby club like at one point in their life. So I kind of got taken along when I was about, must have been very wee, like 5 or 6, something like that, and played. Again, it was just like a boys team though, so didn't love it that much. Like you had the odd thing, you don't get past the ball or you don't get involved in as much, but so took the huff, stopped it, then got dragged back again sort of when they actually had the girls team at bigger, so sort of under 15s age group, and then I've played there ever since really. Just moved from Bigger to Heriot's, and then Edinburgh Rugby. So yeah, played alongside my sister as well at Bigger, which was really good fun.
Oh, that's too. Nice.
So yeah, that's sort of how it kind of started.
So now you are in the Scotland team.
Yes.
Yeah. So how's that?
It's great, to be honest. I still can't really believe it. Like it's been a total whirlwind. Like the way I kind of fell into the squad was pretty much through COVID and things like that. So I actually only got my starting spot through the other girl tested positive for COVID, so wasn't obviously allowed to play, so they're like, right, bring in the young guns. So I started on my first cap and then been integrated into the squad since then, kind of. But no, it was like, yeah, strange sort of time.
So what age were you when you
18?
You were 18, you got your first cap for Scotland.
Yeah, so it was my 19th birthday the following week. So just got it before I was 19, just no more.
That's incredible. Yeah. How many caps are you on now?
I think...
I know how many... Well, if the SRU website's right, I know how
many. 14?
Yeah,
is that
that's
right?
What it says. Yeah.
What is caps? The number of games played?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so 14 caps, and how many points have you scored?
Oh, my God.
I know this.
5?
15. You've scored 3 tries for Scotland.
Oh, I forgot about the other 2. Okay, yeah. They were the most recent ones.
Is one of your tries your profile picture that's you're looking a pure cheeser? Yeah, okay, yeah. So that looks like a good one. You look very happy. But quite exciting, you know.
Yeah.
Playing for Scotland, that makes you the best rugby player in the house. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we got the bragging rights there, I think.
Yeah. I was scanning somewhere today. Your father called Jim?
Yep.
Yeah, I was scanning somewhere today. No bad stories, I promise. But the chap I was scanning for knew your father from Tug of War.
Oh, gosh,
Tom Anderson. Tom Nelson.
Okay.
He does the Scotland team. Well, I don't think he's in the Scotland team this year, but he has been previously. And what was it? He said that your father would have been the team the first year Bigger won the Highland Show. Does that sound right?
Right, yeah, it could have been. Dad loved his Tug of War.
Yeah, I'm sure it was something like that. Tom said that he wasn't in the team the first year that Bigger won it. And obviously, from then, Bigger are the Tug of War team. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not totally up with Tug of War. And for anyone wondering, actually, Tug of War.
Mm.
Everyone knows Tug of War.
I don't know, is that worldwide?
Pull a rope. Tug of War's worldwide, isn't it? We have a lot of American viewers as well.
I don't know. I feel like it sounds more of a...
It's a very Scottish thing. I mean, Scotland are like the world
good
indoor
at it,
champs.
Yeah.
I can't imagine other countries using the word tug.
For the listeners at home, Iona, could you explain what tug means?
To pull
something. Yeah, to tug. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, yeah.
It just sounds like a Scottish word is what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good... Is, guys listening, is tug a Scottish word?
Mm-hmm.
You've really got
Is it Scots or is it slang?
Is it Scots or slang? Having a tug, what would that mean? Okay. Oh, stop it. Right, that's one for somebody to answer. You've really got me in that. Mm-hmm. Do you know the answer for that?
No, no clue.
Tug.
Right,
does it happen? Does it happen?
No, it can't be a Scottish word because the competition's called Tug of War. Unless we invented tug of war.
Maybe it's another Scottish invention.
Oh, there's so many. We invented everything else.
Yeah.
We probably did. Add that to golf and all the other things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking for the perfect way to supplement your livestock while maximising their forage intake and digestibility? Introducing Crystalyx Feedlix, the convenient, smart and efficient choice for livestock supplementation. packed full of energy, protein, vitamins, minerals, and trace elements, Crystalyx products deliver a complete nutrient package that allows ruminant livestock to prosper. Backed up by scientific research over the last 30 years, Crystalyx products have been proven to support optimal animal health, improve performance, fertility, and enhance overall farm profitability. Manufactured using a unique patented process, Crystalyx products are low in moisture and last longer than other blocks. The durable consistency of Crystalyx ensures that animals can't gorge on the product. Instead, intakes are consistent, with product being consumed little and often as intended. Improve the efficiency of your livestock supplementation while saving time, effort, and money. To view the full range and find out how Crystalyx can work for you, visit crystalyx-global.com.
And speaking of Scottish inventions, rugby sevens.
Mm-hmm.
What about rugby sevens? You ever played that?
I have, yeah. That's actually how I got into Scotland. Well, before 15s, I played sevens for Scotland first. So love sevens. Not fit enough to do it now.
So but. I'm a complete. I don't know much about rugby at all. Don't know if I'm giving off that vibe. So shame. what is 15s? What is sevens?
Private school as well, which isn't much. Rugby. Are you hockey? Hockey, of course. Okay. Girls are hockey, of course. Yeah. Were you private school?
No. No. Bigger high school.
Bigger basically is private school.
No. Bigger high school would be rough.
No,
surely,
it's quite
not?
Rough.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Bigger would be quite a rough area, is it not?
No,
it?
Bigger's lovely.
It's got its rough parts and its posh parts.
I've only seen the posh parts.
Whenever I think of bigger, I think of that like horrible slogan that they use that like Glasgow's big, but bigger's bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
Oh.
It's actually a great slogan. I actually quite like it. That's why it sticks in my head. But that's clever.
They've got lovely public toilets.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Really clean.
How would you know? From the show?
I've been.
From the show?
No, just from driving through.
You just... drive to places to use the public toilets.
Oh, on the way somewhere when we were wee, we would go through bigger to go to Edinburgh.
Right.
Oh, right, okay, because I was going to say that public toilets have a close relationship with the word tug. So it's like very suspicious, Iona, I must say. What are the public toilets like? Do you know?
Well, you would probably need
why
to
would
use
you?
Them.
Why would you? Your house is just down the road.
It would be weird if you didn't know. Good chip
can't
shop
say.
As well.
Yeah. Good chip shop, good ice cream. Mm-hmm.
Give the chip shop a shout out. What's the name of it?
Townhead.
Townhead Chippy.
Townhead
okay.
Chippy.
Townhead Chippy. There you go. That'll be viral next week. And so rugby sevens, you started a bit of that. Are you fast?
I'm not fast over like 10 meters, but once I get going, I'm quite fast. Yeah.
So sorry, what is the difference between sevens?
Yeah. So like sevens is 7 players on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Whereas 15s is 15 players on the pitch.
Makes sense.
So just sevens is a lot simple. More faster, like more space,
more space.
All that kind
more.
Of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting to watch, but I don't particularly like it that much. I like watching like Melrose or that,
yeah.
You know, the smaller. I don't the world tour that they do, I'm not that big a fan.
It's right, quite yeah. a social sort of thing. Like all the events are like folk dress up and go to watch them and a lot of drinking and stuff.
Right,
and
okay.
15s is like that too. But
well, there's a lot of drinking at all yeah. rugby things, but yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, I suppose it is that social thing. It's like, because there's so many games in a day and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
that's
yeah.
another thing. The games are...
It's a big money raiser
seven,
for clubs as
yeah.
well.
It's like 7 minutes each half. So a normal okay. rugby game's 80 minutes. A 15s game's 80 minutes, whereas sevens is 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah. Fast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you've got very quick time to get points and then it's another game and it keeps it exciting for spectators.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
it is for the spectator. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's a good moneymaker for clubs like Melrose and the Borders have a big series, like the
King of the Sevens.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
King of the Sevens.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay,
do cool. they have a king of do they have a queen of the sevens?
No, they don't. There's like
there's no women's
that.
Tournament.
At Melrose there is now, but
okay.
it's not called Queen of the
yeah,
Sevens.
Okay, that's
like
fair,
that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
there you go, that could be
good on Melrose for doing that then.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So you did a bit of sevens, you've got a bit of pace over a longer distance. What position are you playing?
In sevens or
no, in 15s.
In 15s, I'm playing outside centre.
Oh, it says inside centre on
does it
on your Scottish
no,
profile.
That's wrong.
There you go.
Need to get that changed. 13. So 12 is inside centre, yeah. 13 is outside centre. But I actually had never played 13 until my first cap. Like
right.
At club, I'd always played fullback or like 10 or something like that. And then when I brought into the Scotland setup, they were like, actually, we want you to play 13. And then 2 weeks later, I'm playing 13 against Wales. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. But that's quite a common thing, because 10, like, 10 is such a competitive position.
Yeah.
And it's quite common with other players. I mean, you get like Owen Farrell. Mm-hmm. Has been bumped. I say he's bumped out to 13. He's a very good 10 as well, but quite often plays out. He's maybe at 12, right enough. Yeah, he's inside centre. Who's our outside? Hugh Jones just now.
Yeah, or Chris Harris maybe.
Yeah, between those two. So, yeah, you're. You could. I was going to say your inside centre maybe a bit more skillful, but maybe that's unfair if you've played at 10. But it's a tricky position. You know, there's lots of examples of that.
Yeah.
But so you get moved to that. I played it just at club level when I was younger. Played it at number 8, loved it, because you don't actually get hurt in the scrum.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
You just hang off the back. You know, it's really easy. You push from the back, but there's nobody pushing you.
No.
You know, and you get your break-offs and you get straight back into the action. You're not, when the scrum collapses, you just let go So 8 is a great, you know, the back row in general is a great position in rugby. And I used to absolutely love it, but I did, although the forwards do the majority of the work, the backs take some big hits. Like, and have to put in some big, big tackles.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're outside centre, there's a good chance that the person coming at you is coming at you at pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it. I think for backs, defending, you've got a lot more space, and it's, like, harder to defend, whereas forwards are a lot more, like,
so it's tight round the contact.
Quarters. Yeah. So there's, yeah, good and bad things about forwards and backs, but I'm glad I'm where I am. See, if I was in a mall or anything, I actually would not know what to do.
Yeah.
At all.
But, and I mean, you know, women's rugby, and it's such a touchy subject before, because the women's sport thing, isn't
I know,
it? Equal
it
pay
is
the one that gets folk wound up. But, you know, we've actually said in this podcast before, I'm a big believer in equal pay at national level.
Mm-hmm.
Because take the SRU, for example. They can easily split the money between the two sides. Now, I know they have a bigger return in the men's game in terms of that, and I'm not saying you have to do a 50-50 of the funds, but they can easily move a big chunk over to the women's side and pay women full-time to make us compete with the likes of England. Because I take it just now we get absolutely destroyed by England.
The
Women's Six Nations starts in a few weeks after the men's. You're going to be playing in that.
Yeah.
Which is
some
buzz, eh?
It's annoying, it's at lambing time, but we'll not talk about that.
I think there's certain things that are okay to miss lambing for,
true.
And playing in the Six Nations for Scotland is definitely one of them. So, in that Six Nations, and we'll talk, let's stick on the money thing at first. The big thing's equal pay, but I really do believe now at club level, I am more on the side of, you know, there has to be a balance. If the men's game brings in so much money, you have to pay the men more because you need to attract those players to keep it at that level. But at a national thing, when it's just about playing for your country, they can easily siphon more money off the men's game to bring. That is why England are dominating, because they're all professional athletes.
But why do the men's games attract more?
Well, part of it, because they've had many more years of training and evolution to get very good at it.
Well, no.
And rugby in particular is more of a brutal physical sport, so you're going to see the bigger hits, you're going to see the faster runners. You're going to see the crazy Finn Russell passes that is a strength-based thing, you know, whereas... But you look at football now, right? I watched a women's football thing the other day. The level now is way up from where it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's because they're putting money into it. Mm. And rugby's the same. England have been putting money into it for a while, and now they are dominating. Teams.
So England have been putting money into their women's...
They're world champions, are they not?
Yeah.
New Zealand beat them. That's right. Right of the death, wasn't it? It was a tight one.
Yeah. I was at it.
Were you?
Yeah.
But it was in New Zealand, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was at the World Cup, but we got knocked out way before that.
You were actually playing for Scotland. Oh, so you were playing for Scotland back then?
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago? Last year?
2 years.
2 years ago,
right.
So you've been to a World Cup already? I was just skipping over all
that. I know, right. I know, I feel like we need a timeline. So what age are you now?
20.
So it's only been 2 years. Sorry.
That's class.
That is unreal.
I know. I still can't really believe it. It feels like quite a wee while ago, but it feels like it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just.
Did we get out of the pools?
A dream. No.
Okay.
No, we didn't.
It's the same as the men.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
It's the same as the men, so it doesn't. Yeah.
What was New Zealand like?
Oh, incredible! So cool. I did a month sort of traveling post us getting kicked or getting knocked out.
Which
was so cool because the World Cup was based in Auckland, so we were kind of based up and around there. Mm. And then went and travelled the South Island as well, which was so cool. Like, we went to Christchurch show, so I think it's meant to be like the equivalent of the Highland show.
Oh, cool.
Which, yeah, it was really cool. So different. But yeah, really, really cool to see.
In what way? How is it different?
Like, the sheep are so, so different. Like, they're all, I don't know, I can't describe it.
Yeah.
Because just what the sheep kind of we're used to, they're like, all like, really woolly and like, it's really hard.
Are sheep really woolly?
No, theirs are.
Theirs are.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like, axe games and all that. Yeah,
limber. Timber sports.
Yeah, that's
sure, it's like limbering up. Timber sports. Lumbar, I think I was going to say there, but that's your back.
Yeah, so like these like guys racing to how quickly they can chop this big tree down and all this. Wow. It's like, yeah, just different, loads of different kind of stuff.
Any tug of war?
No tug of war. There's some bull riding though, stuff like that was really cool to see.
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
That terrifies me.
Yeah, those guys are mental.
I know, it's scary.
Did anyone get hurt?
Not when we... I think they were all really good because they're...
Oh, it's more of like an exhibition.
Yeah.
Things are different in New Zealand.
Yeah, very. Mm-hmm. Very different way of kind of farming and stuff.
Did you go and see where the hobbits are?
No, I didn't. Okay. Never had time.
That's
to your credit. That's to your credit.
Oh, okay.
Did you go and see where the hobbits are?
No.
Good. No harm to anyone who's been to see where the hobbits are, can I just say?
Or any hobbits listening.
Or any hobbits listening, of course. No offence to our hobbit fans. But that's not offensive.
What is a hobbit?
It's get hairy feet.
That's what makes somebody a hobbit?
hairy feet.
Surely that is not the biggest
definition.
Well, they have hairy feet. They're a wee bit short. They're from the Shire, like you and I. Do you class yourself as being from the Shire? Were you Lanarkshire?
Lanarkshire.
Oh, there you go. You're from a Shire also.
Shire.
Shire. But you're too tall. And they also really don't like rings. They're going about destroying rings. So, yeah. They're a strange people. Anyway, we'll have a wee tangent on here. Back to it. So you travelled New Zealand after getting dumped out of the World Cup.
Was that with some of the team? Sorry to interrupt you, Karen.
No, that was my partner Angus. So he came out to watch some of the games.
Great
and
name.
Yep.
Strong name.
Strong Scottish name. And then, we did a bit of. He has family down in Dunedin, so we stayed with them. It was quite rushed. We had like a month to kind of get around the whole of the South Island, which obviously we didn't see everything, but we got around most of the main cities and stuff like that, which was really cool. And then back home.
Does Angus play rugby?
Yeah, he does as well.
Oh.
Uh huh.
For Scotland.
Gala.
For Gala. Gala. Okay. Yeah. That's probably quite a good level down there.
Nat won. So he quite often plays against my brothers.
Right, okay.
At Bigger. So right. Gala and Bigger play.
So Nat one's below the Premiership, is it?
Yeah, one below the Prem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like David Andrew that we mentioned earlier, he plays with Mar, that's the Prem?
That's the Prem, yeah.
Okay.
So he's like one above that.
Okay.
Still quite a good level.
Oh, absolutely. I'm absolutely sure it is. And it's nice that you have that in common as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does he come and watch your games?
He does, yeah, usually. We usually try and go watch each other's games.
Did you meet?
No, we met at SRUC in Edinburgh. So we met at college.
And that's what you're doing just now?
Yeah.
SRUC. You've got so many interests in college. That's a perfect match.
Perfect. Get the wedding organised. How many acres have you got and how many? Who's got the most acres? Has he got a farm?
Yes.
How many siblings has he got?
One girl.
Less of a girl, but that's fine. Less of a divide. Many acres has he got?
200 odd.
It's not bad. Just do it. How many acres have you got?
Like 500, but Jamie's already claimed that. So.
Ah, there we go. 500, big. That's 125 each.
Not bad.
That's all right. Aye, that's all right. Not to be sniffed at. Plus your 100 for Angus. Your 200. Aye, it looks good. Get it. Get Heather Wildman to sort it out for you.
No.
We'll line you up with Heather and Margot that we had last week.
We get married, it makes things a lot more straightforward.
Causing family trouble in here. It'll be fine. So, no, back to rugby though.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about you're at SRUC studying culture, and I think that'll be really good for some people to hear about that as well. But I want to talk about, we touched on the pay thing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And the fact that England are absolutely hammering us, you know, because their full team is full-time full-time rugby players. Am I right in saying that some of the Scotland team are now full-time?
So, yeah, we are. I think there's 30 or 32 professional contracts now. So, but this has just come in the last 2 years.
Yep.
Whereas England are about 10 years, 15 years ahead of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to keep up with, but we're definitely on the right track at heading in the same direction. Hopefully, it's just a shame we're as far behind. Because you're like, so France and New Zealand, they are all kind of catching up with, or similar to England.
New Zealand, you could argue New Zealand are better.
Better, yeah, this is true.
They did beat them at the World Cup. Quite close, right enough. But
so, see, out of those 32, how many will be full time?
So, I think like pretty much all of them, but a lot of girls still, because touching on the money, a lot of us still have occupations on the side. So, I'm studying, there's a lot of people who still have a day job. Like, there's a few vets in the team, a few lawyers, like that kind of thing. Okay. So
what is the money like? Job anyway, then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know what? Your rugby won't last forever. Well, so exactly. You don't want to drop your career.
Yeah.
What is the money like?
It's livable, definitely. Like, not. It's a drop in the ocean compared to the men's, to be honest.
Ah, of course. Yeah.
So what would roughly be? Would the males be getting paid?
That's crazy. That's like the football. Like,
so does it vary? Well, like player
Finn
to
Russell,
player?
When Finn Russell was in France, he was on £1 million a year. Whereas, I know. He's on less now, I believe. Although I think he's still the highest paid player in the Premiership.
Or world, maybe.
Highest paid player in the world at Bath, is he? Could be. You would know better.
I don't actually.
When I think about it, he has the flair like that. The other players that sell. Yeah. It's all about. Well, it's about winning, but also he sells tickets. Like,
yeah.
You know, and the price of a rugby ticket.
I know. It's wild.
Oh, I know.
Crazy, but I don't mind that too because it keeps a lot of the riffraff out. But. Well, one thing you don't see is like folk throwing pints about or fighting in the concourse and that. Like, it's great that way. Like,
What is that? That's not to do with how much a ticket is. Because football games and stuff are expensive too.
They're not as expensive as the rugby. They're nowhere near as expensive as the rugby. But, you know, like, you're going to see Comart for £24 or something. A rugby game, like, would be 70. Well, for Scotland, England would be £70 for an average seat.
Yeah, but then what about Scotland, England football?
Cheaper to get it. It's still only £40 maybe, most. Oh, 30 something. Yeah. It's different. It's different, folk. You're aiming. Football's a working class sport. Rugby's a middle class sport.
Why is that?
It's a private school sport.
I know, but why?
That is a very good question.
Because football and rugby, it's not like one needs a huge amount more equipment or things than the other. Like, there's not a huge amount of cost in one compared to the other.
Do you know, it is a very good question. Why is rugby for the middle class? Why is it a private school sport? Why?
Don't know.
That's a good...
I know.
Like, I'd imagine a lot of the rugby players in the Scotland team be from private schools?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like when I was younger, my school played High School of Glasgow, which is a private school,
right.
Pretty big into rugby, and we half time the ref asked if we wanted to stop. Well, at half time it was like 60-0, and the ref's like, "Well, we do the second half," and the coach was like, "Do you want to do the second half?" And they're like, "Well, like we couldn't like lose face," so we're like, "Yeah," and then we just got absolutely hammered again.
No.
It was that kind of way they started to ease off because they felt so bad about it.
Oh, yeah, I guess the point, it's not even fun for them.
Yeah, yeah, they were huge, man. They were just machines, like. So, yeah, that's when I realised private school was such a core for rugby. But there probably will be an answer. Mm. It'll be what, like a lot of things, it's just always been that way.
Yeah.
Old traditions, you know. But, good question. If anyone knows the answer, drop us a comment, let us know why. But, you know, there's still some good working class players like yourself. Like yourself. Some from lowly beginnings.
Yeah.
So we're kind of touching on the contracts there. I like this chat about, you know, you've got your contract now. You're full time, which is how it should be, albeit some people are still doing jobs on the side.
Yeah.
But you also play with Edinburgh Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
How did, so you went from Bigger to Edinburgh, is that right?
Harriet's in between. So, okay. Yeah, when I first got into the national team squad, Bigger is in, I think they were in Nat 2 at the time. They've now been since been promoted, but still it wasn't the best level of rugby. So moved to Harriet's, which is a premiership team, and then played there. And then they've brought in this new initiative, the Celtic Challenge or the Celtic Cup, which is essentially you've got two Irish teams, two Welsh teams and two Scottish teams. So it kind of misses out England because they've got quite a good league there already.
Okay.
So then we all sort of play a round robin kind of type thing. I think the main point of it is to bridge the gap between the domestic game or the club game in Ireland, Wales and Scotland and then your international level. Because like I was saying, England, they've got their Allianz Prem. I think it's got a new sponsor now. But that's what it used to be called, is the best women's league in the world for rugby.
Oh, wow.
So like I'm the only Scottish player still playing club rugby in Scotland. Everyone else in the national team plays their club rugby in England because the level's so much better.
Really?
And I'm just up here because of uni still, but yeah, everyone's down in England playing the rugby, which is, yeah, it's a difficult one because you want your
players... It makes sense. You want your national team to be as good as it can be.
Yeah.
And if like you're saying, if Edinburgh and Glasgow, I think it's Edinburgh and Glasgow, the two Scottish teams, you know, if they can build a strong squad, then they can pull players.
Yeah.
And there'll be an attraction there, but obviously it suits you for studying as well to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
And love.
Yeah.
As well.
So yeah, it's basically to, what's the word?
To
imitate that league that England have.
Yeah, yeah.
So that Scotland, England, Ireland have got something like that, similar to that level, before there's the jump to.
It's to pitch these two big Scottish teams against similar level clubs rather than just hammering everybody else every week and not really advancing.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because I take it Edinburgh and Glasgow just hammer every other women's team. Do you even play other women's teams?
So they've just come in recently. Before, it was literally just the Premiership, which is like your Harriet's, Stirling County, like these kind of teams.
Ah, okay.
So Edinburgh and Glasgow have just come in. So before that was, the Premiership was the highest level of women's rugby. In Scotland, which isn't a very good level in comparison to the English league.
Okay.
So it's cool that they've brought this in so that girls in Scotland have an opportunity to play at a higher level without having to go down to England.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the hope that keeping more girls in Scotland, girls see other females playing for Edinburgh and Glasgow and mean like, oh, I could do that when I'm older, and the hope that it turns into a similar, like with the men's where it's a professional side, but again that is far down the line. I don't really know what it'll look like because it's just the first year, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
It's so interesting. Is that a paid gig? But it's interesting to know how the structure of women's rugby is. Are you paid at club level or just at international, or is part of your contract with international you have to play at a certain club?
So it's different to football and stuff. Like you're contracted by your nation and then you get payments from club, whereas football is you're contracted by your club and then you just get like a day rate from the nation.
Right, okay.
So it's a bit backwards that way, whereas most other sports are.
But then club football is bigger than international football, out with perhaps the World Cup, of course.
Yeah.
Whereas international rugby is far bigger than club rugby.
Yeah.
So it's backwards that way as well. So you can see why it is flipped the other way. Yeah, and it's one of those things like the Lionesses. Success breeds success.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that female football in England is absolutely booming off the back of the success from the Euros 100%. And then the World Cup final. Like, they all want to be a Lioness. And it's the same like England rugby. They see them, you know, okay, they fell a little bit short of the World Cup.
Yeah.
But, you know, they come so close. They're doing so well. They're smashing the Six Nations. Mm-hmm. You know, that inspires people to come and do it. And it's the same with Scotland's women. If we can invest, with that, but you need to just try and get them a wee bit of success.
Yeah,
and then it just blows up. You 100%. Know, it's like when Andy Murray's doing well.
Everybody wants to be a tennis player.
Everybody wants to be a tennis player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quite rightly. As well, I'd love to get the Wains into it.
Would you?
Oh, that's great.
You play tennis?
I've played tennis like other people, I watch Wimbledon and go,
I fancy a game of tennis.
Tennis is hard. Serving is a big thing. The fitness I was all right at, but the serving, like trying to nail a good serve in the wee box.
Like an ace, is that what they call it?
Well, that's if the other guy doesn't hit it, but just getting it.
Over the net.
Eventually we just...
Also, just hitting the ball over the net, that was the...
and it has to go in the wee box on the other side, diagonal across.
Okay, yeah.
But like, eventually it was just like, we underhand him. Like, we just both agreed, like, right, we're not Andy Murray, we underhand him. I'll underhand him, but don't hit it back too hard. The first one, so that's how it went. But yeah, so rugby, and I feel like when I go and watch the rugby, I start convincing myself I could go back and play a wee game. You know, I could go back and do it.
You could.
Nah, I'm too old now.
No, you're not.
If I change direction too fast, like my body just crippled, like something just snaps. I have to take three steps. I see from my brain deciding I need to go that way. I need to take a three.
So we lag.
I need to take three steps slowing me down to then change and go that way. I can't just suddenly change direction like Brian O'Driscoll. Like, it wouldn't work.
My older brother's like that. He played rugby loads as well, but I think now that mum and dad are getting older, he's sort of had to stop his rugby just because it's like, if you get injured, then like the farm wouldn't function without him.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit like, he's a really good rugby player as well, but he's kind of just hung up his boots because, like you say, you're too valuable for your work, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That is it. Do you know, I do say CM that plays rugby at club level that are in farming.
Yeah.
Like, fair play to you. It's madness.
I know. It's
see,
a
unless,
big risk.
Unless you're getting paid to do it or you have a chance of doing something big with it.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough. But if you don't, like, a broken leg.
I know.
Madness. A bad concussion, a snap neck is all, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of old farmers and that are bad rugby injuries and they struggle the rest of their life.
How much more likely are you to have an injury like that playing rugby than you are working on the farm?
A lot.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
If you looked up farm accidents, I am.
Did we talk about this in the podcast? No. No. So I don't know if you've seen the podcast. Ariana's dad did a podcast, right?
Okay.
And there was a really emotional bit where it was really nice. He was talking about when he leaves and has to sell the place or whatever, move on. It's not actually farming that he'll miss, it's Cross Flat, which is the name of the farm. And he goes on to say, I know every inch of that place. And it was a great moment, but you know, I couldn't say it at the time, but 1 year before or 2 years before, John, he'll not mind me telling this story, I think it's hilarious. A lot of folk know this story. He was too busy looking at some yows while riding the bike, and he rode into a gatepost and snapped his leg.
Right before lambing.
So it's like, you know it well, but you don't know it that bloody well. So he said, I know every inch of that place, except where I put that bloody post.
I forgot about that one.
This is a bit embarrassing. So that's when as you're thinking of how more likely to get hurt than that. And that goes back to my thing about folk getting hurt on quad bikes that I spoke about with Kaz, is that, you know, it's not the quad bike's the problem, it's the person sitting on it making silly mistakes. And it's easy done.
Yeah.
Easy done. So yeah, you can always get injured on the farm, but I think you have a much higher risk.
Do you?
100%.
Have you ever been injured badly?
Touch wood, nothing, no like gosh, broken bones or anything.
Oh my god, you're being stretched off now.
Don't say that.
But you're lucky because you're young, eh? Like, everything's like loose and you know, hamstrings don't ping. Do women get less like injuries like that?
I think women actually are more susceptible to ACLs and stuff.
I saw that with
which
the football
is quite scary.
Players.
It's like knee like major knee ligaments,
right? Okay.
And it's really common in football,
major. But then they're swinging and kicking.
Yeah.
Surely, hopefully, with rugby, it's not as bad. Maybe just the tens.
Yeah.
The tens might go more.
So there's like scary number of ACLs in women's rugby now. Which is like, it's like a year plus recovery.
There's a lot in women's rugby as well.
Yeah. There's, we do a lot of work like before we're in the gym or anything like that. We do prehab, which is like single leg knee stuff, just to like warm up and strengthen it so that you can prevent it as much as possible, because don't want to do that.
And are you, I saw the Scottish rugby site put your weight on it, what did it say, 72 kilos
about that.
So hey, rugby player, don't mind talking about it, but like, I think, I mean, to me, right, looking at you, I'd say you're pretty solid.
Okay.
Well, I'd say she looks like a rugby player. You know, you could be a centre. There's no doubt about it. You look, you've got that look about you.
Yeah.
But, like, when you go up next to the England girls, how do you feel? Like, do you feel tiny?
Or? I feel a bit scrawny, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I always wonder. I remember, you know, do you ever remember at Murrayfield? Oh, you won't. God, I'm forgetting you're like 13 years old. You probably weren't even born when I did this. That's mental. But it used to be at the end of the games, everyone would run on the pitch.
Right.
They've stopped it now.
Yeah.
But it used to be every game, more or less, everyone would run on the pitch. And I actually ruined it a bit because the players couldn't do a lap of honour and all that kind of stuff. But it was just a stupid thing that folk did. So we did it, we were daft boys. But I was actually at a Toulouse Stade de France European Cup final, I think it was, and we did it. Mm. And now usually the players weren't there, but this one they'd won the European Cup, so they were on celebrating, and we're on the pitch, and like the guys were like right next to me. I know I was a wee teenage boy, but like they were like the biggest guys I'd ever seen.
Massive.
But watching them from up high, because you're up above them and they're so far away, they don't look, you get next to them, it's like, wow, man, everybody's over like 6'4".
I know.
Like,
so what is that?
You just need to be big to be good. And that's why I just wonder if women was the same. You know, if you go up against a team like England that has been professional for 10 years, there's a big pool of players to pick from if they are absolute monsters.
Yeah, I think in the men's game, there's more of that, like, the bigger you are, the better you're going to do. Whereas in the women's game, it's maybe not so much that. It's like maybe more agility. And I know that's in the men's game as well. But yeah, for your like front row and stuff, definitely the bigger the better. But yeah, I think they are just all a little bit more muscly. And
so what is that? Is that just because there's a bigger pool?
They can go at the gym every day. You know, they can do two sessions at the gym every day. They don't need to still do their vet work or whatever. They can put that at home.
Yeah, everything.
Well, because they have more competition as well. Like, I'm not saying you don't have to watch your back, but you know, you're 20, you're up and coming. Mm-hmm. Whereas those England girls will have somebody knocking at the door for their place. Yeah. If they miss a gym session. It's a competition's great for making you better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, like that's almost Finn Russell's biggest problem. He's no competition. Like, so
why? Because he's so far ahead.
Push him, really.
He's just so much better than everybody else. Like, in that position, there is boys that are good at it, but like, he is. Like, there's nobody knocking him out of that team. And you can tell that by looking at him, he's not been to the gym for about 8 years. Finn Russell, I hope so much he doesn't watch it. Because I love Finn Russell. I absolutely love Finn Russell. And one of the things I love about him is those scrawny wee arms.
I know.
Has he?
I shouldn't be body shaming at all, but I don't think Finn Russell would mind. But like, he's not got the build of the best 10 in the world. Absolutely
no,
not. Like,
I agree.
You know, you compare him to anybody, like he's nothing like any other 10 in the world. But you watch him put hits in. Like, it shows you how much technique is important in rugby.
Yeah.
If you watch Finn Russell, like big hits, man. Like, his tackling's incredible. And even breaking tackles.
I know.
The way he breaks a tackle, and there's just nothing to him. Like, I've had a photo of him before, and you just stand next to him, like, he's just like a wee guy.
I know. It's like, it's weird.
It's incredible. So that's where raw talent, and you know, he doesn't have to worry so much about somebody he's back. But with England girls, after, and it's good for improving the sport.
Crystalyx Extra High Energy Feed Blocks provide high energy supplementation to ewes, lambs, and rams. Manufactured using a unique patented process, Crystalyx Extra High Energy lasts up to 3 times longer than some other blocks, packed full of energy, protein, vitamins, minerals, and trace elements. Crystalyx Extra High Energy supports optimum animal health and performance. Unlock your flock potential and improve farm profitability from as little as 4 pence per head per day. Crystalyx, we've got it licked.
So you're doing your agriculture SRUC. How are you finding that, and also balancing it with the rugby side as well?
Yeah, it's definitely been a challenge. Like, the first, like, that's kind of why I went into it more, because I always wanted to be a vet, and I don't think I wouldn't be smart enough to be a vet anyway. But rugby got quite a lot towards like my sixth year or fifth and sixth year at school, and so I was like, oh, I could probably do agriculture alongside my rugby. And I was obviously interested in it, and I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. So kind of went into it in that sense. And then yeah, hats off to everyone at SRUC and at Scotland. Like, they've been so good at, like, if there's a lecture I need to make, like, I can get out of camp to get to it, or if there's, like I'm not there for months on end because of Six Nations, for example, like, I can still do my uni. Like, it's quite
that's
accommodating.
Really
yeah, they'd understand.
Yeah.
Like and yeah, so with the agriculture thing, what do you do with that? You going to do another course after it, really?
Yeah, kind of.
It's like a stepping into whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think so. Like, my plan at the moment is to get my 4 years and then hopefully do a postgrad in something. Don't know what that'll be at all. I'll worry about that after rugby, hopefully.
Of course, aye.
But yeah, I think most folk, like, a lot of people in my course are farmer boys who are going home after the 3 years to take on the farm. So it's a really valuable course in that sense, but I don't know. Like, a lot of my friends do rural business management, which is probably leads you into more jobs, like you're surveying and all that kind of thing, which probably gives you more options. By the time, I just really loved our farming and agriculture. I knew I'd enjoy it, so I kind of went with it.
And the thing about having an undergrad under your belt is, even if you don't go straight into the postgrad, you can always like come back to it in a few years and you don't have to start from scratch.
Definitely, yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but yeah, the plan is hopefully to get that done well. I still can do rugby at the same time, and then worry about a job after that.
Listen, I think that's absolutely bang on, like, just focus on the rugby, because you have the rest of your life to worry about jobs and what you're going to do.
Yeah, well, this is it. I think mum and dad are big believers that I should put everything into my rugby the now, because it's in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small portion of your life that you're fit enough to do it and, like, able to do it. So it's like, why put it off for a few years for something else when you could do that like down the line?
Absolutely.
100%.
So that's the mindset I'm kind of taking at the moment with it.
No, I think that's great. Good parenting. Well done, Jim. What's your mum's name?
Mara. Martha. Well,
Is it Martha? Mara, did you say that nickname?
Yeah, Martha, but she gets called Mara. Yeah.
Right, Jim not... and Mara. Great parenting. Big shout out to you. No, because I would be the same. Like, never mind anything else. It's just, and that's one thing I do not mind spending the money on, you know, with the boys, is, like, if they have any chance at a sport. Because, like, for me, sport is everything to me. Like, it is just the ultimate test of everything. It's just like, it is like the old fashioned, you know, if we look back where we used to be hunter gatherers and all that, right? We don't have that now.
Yeah.
Now we've got sport. You know, you find out who the best man is through sport. You know, and that's what I was loving. And there's always a debate, and you hear folks say things like, you know, it's crazy what these footballers get and things like that. You know, they'll say, oh, it's crazy that Cristiano Ronaldo gets, I think he's on 200 million a year or something now.
What?
But, like, folks, but you imagine the planet has 7 billion people, right? And there's nobody else can do what he does. Now, some would say Messi, okay, but Messi's also, Messi's on more money than Ronaldo. So,
I can't get on board with that.
But you're the only person, you're the whole planet, the most popular sport in the world that virtually every little boy, a lot of little girls, but every little boy tries or plays at some point. No matter what nation you're in, no matter how poor you are, some of the best players in the world come from places like Africa, but you're the best at it. Like, how do you even put a price on that?
Well, I just think 200 million is a bit
expensive. Is it, there's people making more than that just by selling advertising space on Facebook or coming up with an app, you know? There's people making billions.
Yeah, but they've they're making that money, whereas he's not. If they've gone to that, if they've come up with the idea,
theirs is all passive income now. His is actually has to go out and do it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, folk, I think folk have a terrible attitude sometimes towards sports stars. Like, oh, it's a disgraceful amount of money. It's like they're doing something that nobody else can do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we'll
no,
say,
oh, no,
it's ridiculous. He gets that. If we use it, ridiculous. He gets that when nurses is the one that gets talked about a lot. Nurses only get this. Now, nurses are as one of the ultimate jobs there are, right? But lots of people can be a nurse. I couldn't, but lots of people can. I couldn't do it. Lots of people couldn't do it. But you know what I mean? A lot more people could be a nurse than can do what Premiership footballers do.
So what we're saying is we should pay more for talent.
Well, we do pay more for talent.
So you agree with that?
that talented people, naturally talented people, should get paid more?
No. It's not just about talent. You need to do the hard work. Ronaldo is where he is.
What about Finn Russell? You're saying he doesn't?
No, his is just natural talent.
Yeah, so you...
Yeah. But I like, okay. But it's not about talent or about how hard you work. It's about what you do in the pitch. Like, it doesn't matter if you have no talent at all. If you're kicking 50-22s like Finn Russell does every week, or you are scoring goals that Ronaldo does, if you have no talent, but you just make it happen, who cares? That is your talent. That is all. It's the end result is all that matters.
Mm.
Whether you work hard or not. You know, whether you're Finn Russell and you just turn up, you know, go out for a few beers, wind the manager up, still turn up and have a great game. Sometimes he doesn't, but he just shrugs it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're doing something nobody else can do, I think. You know, how do you put a price on those things?
I understand it from both points. I do think, though, some people like, but it's just a game at the end of the day, so why does he get that amount of money?
I hear you. So, like, for example, a nurse, they're actually making a difference. They're doing something. They're helping with people's health, whereas there's no outcome to playing a sport.
No, it's someone's entertainment. But I don't know.
No, and I agree with you. I am not for one second saying the nurse does a far more important job than the football player.
Yeah.
I am absolutely saying that. Absolutely saying that. But, like, you're talking about massive businesses. So you imagine, like, you're going about these footballs here. Like, look at bankers and all that, right?
Mm.
You imagine you've got these two big businesses. Let's say you've got HSBC and you've got Bank of Scotland, okay? Or Santander or whatever, right? And there's this guy that is the best at running those businesses that ever lived. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What price do they put on getting that guy? Do you know what I mean? What's that guy worth? Both these companies make multi millions.
Yeah,
there's no price. They'll pay whatever.
And also,
to be the best, they want to be the best. They'll make more profits. You know, I mean, the Saudi league is making a fortune off of that. There's no way they'll not be running at a loss paying him.
No.
And just to link it back into farming.
Are we doing farming?
It's like the pedigree side. What is the point?
I suppose it's like the pedigree side in terms of money just kind of goes, it's the big guys amongst themselves, and that's like football with the top players.
Uh-huh. And there's no actual beneficial outcome.
In what regard?
Apart from just...
Oh, because the money just keeps going round?
The money keeps going round, and it's just about producing better beasts. Like... For aesthetic purposes.
It's like a sport. It's like competition. It's like you just want to win.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of that in that stuff as well. Yeah, you just want to win. And they guys will pay whatever they need to pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like teams want football players.
Yeah.
What did you think about that weed? Link back into farming, you like it?
Yeah, I thought you looked terrified though in case you said something wrong.
I was.
But I know, I could tell. You started talking about the pedigree guys and you tensed up going,
oh no.
I've got a sale on Saturday, I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
I better not say anything about my dad. But back to, so we've talked about Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, good money. And rugby, obviously it doesn't bring in as much money as football, but it's good they are putting money in to you guys in the women's game. You won Player of the Year for this year?
Yeah.
23-24? No, 22-23.
22-23,
yeah. So not only do we have a Scotland international, we have the best player on the team last season. You wouldn't say that, but someone has decided that and they've gave you that award.
I think I've got all the farming community to thank for that.
Oh, is it a public vote?
Yeah.
Ah, right. So I didn't even vote.
Oh, that's lovely.
I didn't know it was a public vote. I just saw it on the Scottish Rugby Instagram. That you'd won it, and I thought, well, that's class because you're a farmer, so that's good.
I know.
Okay, right, so it's a public, need to watch out for that. Next year, give us a shout, we'll make it a podcast. You'll win it every year now. I have got to mention though, because I'm going to get a hard, not, I won't get a hard time for getting you on, but do you know Kieran Bell?
Mm-hmm.
What's Kieran like?
She's good, yeah.
Is she really good? I heard she's rapid.
Yeah, she's faster than me, definitely.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she play wing though, does she not?
Yeah, we actually play for Edinburgh together.
Do you? Yeah. Right, okay. Who's better?
We've got different strengths.
She's a good
sport.
See, I like sports people that are like, I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, other walks of life, folk are like, oh, he'll be better. But sports is like, I'm the best. Do you want to say you're the best?
Yeah.
But got to bear in mind, her dad will be watching
this. Yeah, exactly.
Do you know who Kieran's dad is?
No.
Archie Bell.
Oh.
Aye. From All House Burn. So.
Yeah. So that's Ewan's sister.
Yeah.
Ewan Bill's. Right. Okay.
So, but she's been coming up through. She played Sevens, Scotland Sevens.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure she did. Archie would always tell us stories. Archie, I know you'll watch this. 100% watch this. So I'm giving you a shout out, mate. And anyone doesn't know, Archie Bell, his daughter, plays for Scotland. So there you go. In case he hasn't told absolutely everyone. He's a very proud father, which is great. Aww. So she's rapid.
Yeah,
you used to always say that. She was rapid.
We're playing at the weekend together. And I think out of 9 carries, she made 8 line breaks or something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, like ridiculous stats. She's really good.
Playing on the wing?
Yeah, on the wing.
Right, okay. Brilliant. Yeah. Is she quite agile?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's interesting. So we might make her player of the year next year just to keep balance.
Mm.
In the farming community.
Yeah, so we have two farm. How many other farmers? Is there any other farmers?
I don't think so, no.
Just you and Kieran? Yeah. Are sort of from farming stock?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, that's interesting.
Yeah. I thought it'd be more than that, actually, but no.
Yeah. I saw that, actually. I thought it'd be quite big. Okay, so we've covered that. I thought I'd better get that in because I'll get a nudge about, you know, not mentioning his last name. So she's a rising star as well.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going with this rugby career then?
Well,
what's the dream?
They announced a women's Lions tour. Did you hear about this?
Exciting. I did not know. The Lioness. I can't call it Lioness.
I don't know what they're going to call it.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
That is a nightmare. What are the chances of that?
You can't call it a Lioness.
It would be perfect as well.
It would. Oh, you could still do it.
No,
you can't because it's single.
Then it's like in England.
It's probably copyrighted or something.
I know. So it's just been released that they're doing this 2027, and it'll be to New Zealand to play the Black Ferns because they're kind of the biggest competition, really.
Is it the Silver Ferns or the Black Ferns?
I don't know. I thought it was the Black Ferns. It's the Black Ferns. Okay. Or maybe the Sevens or Silver Ferns. I don't actually know.
Okay, that's fine. Small details, yeah.
That's definitely a big goal. Because it's, like, our World Cup is next summer. And then, so that'll probably...
Where is that?
England.
Right. Not so much. You'll not be doing that month tour after that, will you?
No.
This is Stoke. Leeds.
So basically, what was I talking about there?
You're talking about trying to get in the Lioness team. Like the Lions, the tour. Ladies Lions tour. What are we going to call that?
I know.
Ladies Lions, the Tigers. No. Tigers sounds quite real. What are you going to call it?
Gorillas.
What?
Where's that come from?
That's one of the weirdest things you've ever said. Ever.
I think, like, you know, like you want to be like a tough animal, like a gorilla.
It's the least feminine animal, though. It has to be feminine. That's the thing. A tiger's quite feminine, you know, mostly like in the jungle. Well, the Jungle Book, it's a guy. But I always feel like.
Panther?
Panthers? Panther. Nah, it has to. See, the lions is. British.
Yeah, British and Irish Lions.
So it has to be like a British animal that.
Scottish national animal? Do you know what our national unicorn. Animal is?
Unicorn.
No.
The unicorns.
No, that's too like.
Yeah, too Barbie.
Yeah.
No, right, okay, there you go, folks. Let us know an idea. I'm trying to rack my brains here to think what you could call this to.
You're coming back to Gorilla, aren't you?
So you might try and go in the British Gorillas?
Yes.
That's like a terrorist group.
That doesn't sound right.
No, so let's the Pussycat Dolls.
Gammy, come on.
No.
No.
Okay. Right. So you want to be on the let's just call it the Ladies Lions tour.
Yes. Definitely. So I think the World Cup next year will be a big factor in like the coaches picking that because the Lions is the following summer, so that's in the near future basically. So definitely want to I want to give my 100% to it. Like there's no, I don't think there's any point in putting the hard work in if you're not trying to be the best you can be. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
So yeah, definitely just keep doing it for as long as I can and see where it takes me. But yeah, I don't know to be honest.
Do you know the other inside centres, outside centres? Like do you know? Like, you're pretty clued up in who your competition is for that Lions tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would say so. I think
Who's the best inside centre in the British In the selection pool. The outside centre.
Yeah, the English outside centre.
Yeah. Definitely. It'll be them in nearly every position, isn't it?
Well, this is it. It's like, surely it's just going to be the Red Roses is what the English rugby team gets called. So surely it'll just be them and then like a few honorary Scots or...
I would think so. Same way the British Lions will be the Ireland team.
Yeah, true.
And maybe Finn Russell. It will. I mean, there'll be next to no Welsh in it, I would say. No offence to our Welsh fans. Or but I mean, they'd be mad to take... Because the Lions Tour's...
Where is it? Is it Australia?
It's Australia, but it's... I'm trying to think when the last Lions Tour was now. Yeah, it must be next year.
Yes, it'll be... Yeah, because if the World Cup was last year, it's two years next year.
Yeah. So the Lions Tour's next year. So, I mean, the way Ireland's going, like, they're going to absolutely walk the floor with this Six Nations now.
Exactly.
So I'd imagine it will just be an Ireland team and then might bring Finn Russell for the crack. You know?
For the power.
What's the Scottish team called?
The women's team?
Yeah.
We don't really have a name like that.
They're so unprofessional, they don't even have a nickname yet.
Right, we need a name.
Well, the it used to be called the Thistles, but
You don't like it?
I don't mind it. I just don't think it catches on like
the Red Roses.
Yeah, or the Lions, or the Gorillas.
The Gorillas.
The Gorillas.
There we go. Why did they call the Scotland team Gorillas? Or some lassie said it in a podcast. I thought it was hilarious. This is how nicknames stick, by the way. Just watch. Okay, so folks, we need a good nickname for the ladies' Scotland rugby team.
Yep.
England are the Red Roses. What are some other nicknames? Give us some
Black ideas. Ferns are your New Zealanders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Black Ferns, which doesn't make sense because the fern's silver, but that's a good nickname.
And it seems to be quite on the theme of like flowers and plants.
Yeah, true.
Foliage.
But rugby is like that, isn't it? Because rugby, you have Ireland, you've got a shamrock. You think of their logos.
The emblems, yeah.
Wales, you've got the Leeks. No.
The Leeks?
No, it's no Leeks. I'm sorry. Wales are famous for leeks, can I just say?
Are they?
Can I just...
No, they're not.
They absolutely are.
No, they're not.
They absolutely are.
I need more than that.
I don't even have a phone to look at.
Wales? You've been to Wales?
Right, okay. For anyone listening to the audio, I've just grabbed my laptop.
No, I
need to have a quick look at this.
Give us some more examples.
England are roses.
Yep.
Wales are Welsh flower. There's a flower on their logo.
I know.
Well, daffodil. Obviously daffodil, okay. Yeah. But it's not a daffodil that's on the crest, is it?
Is it not a dragon?
No, not in their rugby Wales... shirt logo crest, shirt crest. See what's on here. Yeah, it's like a. Do you want to see it? It's like a crown. Oh, it's flowers at the top of a crown, is it?
Let's see.
Three feathers. It's three feathers. Sorry, Welsh guys.
Oh, I always thought feathers.
I always thought it was like three leeks. There's three feathers.
Wait, Wales famous for leeks.
Oh, right, okay.
He's trying to get out of it because he knows it's not true.
Famous.
What is Wales famous for? Do
for
that?
Leeks.
Because then you'll probably find one weird article.
Why is a leek a Welsh symbol? The leek has been associated with Wales for hundreds of years. It's thought that the patron saint of Wales, Saint David, told Welsh soldiers to wear the leek on their helmets so that they could better spot each other when in battle against the Saxons who wore similar armour.
How do you know that?
I give it to you. I hand it to you.
I know my history, okay?
But can I just side note, were you more meaning just for producing leeks?
They have leeks on things. Like, they do. They have leeks on things. It is. There's always been an association with leeks and Wales. So we have Welsh with the leeks and the daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
The English with the roses.
Yep.
Irish with a shamrock.
Mm-hmm. But then you're just going to say Scotland and thistles.
Yeah, Scotland thistles, but you were asking what are all the flowers? You said, why is there flowers?
Oh, right.
I'm just talking through them all. Yeah, so they do, they've all got flowers. I don't know about the European teams, but Australia's just a wallaby. I don't think they have. Oh. Maybe they have a flower, I don't know. So there we go. Let's just, we're some tangent this one. Let's get us, oh God, we're over an hour already. Let's get us a nickname. Out of this podcast, I want a nickname for the Scottish ladies team. Okay. I can't think of any off. What would you like it to be?
Just something that's catchy. I feel like
they'll stick.
Yeah,
but it has
I know. But
the problem is, it has to be Scottish. The tartan.
Tartan Army. That's the footballers, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. You want a wee bit of alliteration? The Tartan Tarts. Iona said that. Don't cancel me. Iona said that.
Oh my god, the tartan tarts.
I don't think that would go down. No, I don't think that would go well. Right, we'll come up. We'll come up with something. The viewers will come up with something. So, okay, Lions tour.
Yeah.
20-year-old just now. You'll be 22 then. Prime of your life. No reason why not.
Hopefully.
Who is the outside centre for England? Can you name her?
Meg Jones or Helena Rowland.
Oh, so they've got two?
Yeah. I mean, they've probably got like four in the back.
Ah, yeah, I know. That's the terrifying thing.
I know.
Why doesn't Scotland, why don't we start doing like what, you know, Townsend and the team are doing and just been like, okay, you know.
All the Scottish qualified people.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, you've got a great granny that was Scottish. Have you ever ate a haggis?
That'll do.
You can be in the, that's all they did with Van der Merwe.
Half the teams.
I just sat them down and was like, mate, eat this and then you can play for Scotland. That's how these national teams work now. It's crazy.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I'm not saying half our team, but at the World Cup, we had more players from other nations than any other team. Scotland had more foreign players because they have a link to Scotland, but we had more foreign players than any other team at the World Cup.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know. I was amazed. I was shocked, actually.
I know.
To hear that stat. So, yeah, that's what Scottish... Do you have any foreign players?
Well, people from England are Scott qualified, yeah.
Like, yeah, so we have started doing that already?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Watch your space, you might end up, you might not even get to, never mind the Lions too. You might not even get to play in the next World Cup.
I know.
I'm sure you'll be fine. It's been good. We're over an hour there. I think, have we covered everything we want to cover?
Yeah, that's been great.
Is there anything else you want to put across or?
No, I don't think so.
Or add?
Well, good.
If we want to watch you play, the tickets will be available for the Women's Six Nation. I mean, I think it'd be well worth going along. I'm going to try and get... It's in March, so that kind of suits.
March?
Yeah, yeah. Just follows the men's.
No, I'm going to come to a game.
Oh, good.
There you go.
I'm going to go.
We'll sit and do a podcast from the game.
We have England and France at home, so they're probably the two top teams, so at least it'll be a good game to watch.
What dates are they on? That's okay.
End of March and middle of April.
Oh, okay, right. Well, whamming is one of them.
I know.
Okay.
Do the end of March.
I'll do the end of March. Right, we'll look at that, right. I would like to come. I'll say to Lizzie as well. We'll try and go Scotland, England, because then Lizzie can have the bragging rights, because she's English. No, we love our English fans too. No, that's fantastic. Anyone that wants to go and see it, please do go along, support the women's team. I hope they pump more money into it.
Same.
So that we can really challenge England, the Red Roses. And the Tartan Tarts have a bright future ahead of them, I'm sure. Just keep saying it, it'll stick. So thanks so much, Emma, for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Perfect.